Today's Friday, January 24th, 2025, and you are listening to the World Socialist website.
Trump declares all-out war on public health and science. In the first week of his return to power, Donald Trump has declared all-out war on science and public health as a core component of his fascist agenda in the service of the American oligarchy. The initial architect of the horrific herd immunity mass infection policy towards the COVID-19 pandemic, Trump is picking up where he left off 4 years ago and escalating far further. Just in the past 4 days, Trump has withdrawn the U.S. from the World Health Organization, WHO, imposed an unprecedented gag order on all 13 agencies that comprise the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, and threatened to adjourn Congress to ensure that his numerous anti-public health nominees are installed through recess appointments. These reckless actions, only a foretaste of what is to come, dramatically heighten the risk of future pandemics. At present, this danger emanates above all from the U.S., where the highly pathogenic avian influenza, H5N1 bird flu, has been spreading unchecked among poultry and dairy cattle for over a year, likely infecting hundreds of farm workers across the country due to the Biden administration's criminally negligent response. While Trump and his fascist allies are spearheading the attacks on science and public health, this policy has bipartisan support. Just 3 days before Trump's inauguration, the Biden administration cut off all funding and formally debarred EcoHealth Alliance, Inc. for 5 years as part of the fascist-led witch hunt of the organization's former head, Dr. Peter Daszak. Both capitalist parties support the eugenicist policy of lowering life expectancy and clawing back all the social gains won by the working class in the 20th century. Alongside the destruction of public health, a central aim of the incoming administration is to gut all social spending, including plans to cut Medicaid by as much as $2.3 trillion, which the Democrats will facilitate so long as Trump continues to fund the war against Russia and Ukraine. Already, Trump's orders are estimated to have revoked or affected health insurance for upwards of 20 million Americans. His renewed assault on public health began within hours of his inauguration. Among the flurry of executive orders signed Monday, which centered on attacking immigrants, reversing environmental protections, and erecting the scaffolding of a police state in the U.S., Trump also withdrew the U.S. from the WHO, the world's top public health agency. This move will have far-reaching consequences as the U.S. supplies roughly 15% of the funding for the WHO, whose work is critical in tracking emerging infectious diseases and potential spillover events globally that could spark the next pandemic. Furthermore, once the withdrawal takes effect, the U.S. will no longer be obligated to report such outbreaks that occur domestically, effectively creating blackout conditions that will allow any and all pathogens to spread freely from the United States to other countries in the world. This blackout greatly endangers the American population as well. The following day, the Trump administration imposed the sweeping gag order upon all 13 HHS agencies, including the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, the National Institutes of Health, NIH, and other pivotal agencies that monitor, research, and report on infectious diseases. The order, which will last at least through the end of the month and potentially far longer, has vast implications. The CDC has suspended publication of all science reports, including on the spread of bird flu, the crucial Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report, MMWR, and reports on COVID-19 wastewater levels, among the last available data sources to track the spread of the ongoing pandemic. At present, the U.S. is mired in its 10th COVID-19 wave, with the most recent wastewater estimates indicating that over 500,000 Americans are being infected each day. Hospitals across the country are currently slammed with a quademic of patients infected with COVID-19. Seasonal flu, respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, and norovirus. An anonymous federal health official told the Washington Post that before the gag order was imposed, the CDC planned to publish several MMWR reports this week, including three pertaining to the H5N1 bird flu outbreak. The timing could not be worse. Last year, the U.S. reported 66 official H5N1 bird flu cases, the second highest figure historically for any country. Due to inadequate testing, it is likely hundreds of cases went undetected. For months, scientists have repeatedly warned of the growing danger that people could be infected at the same time by seasonal flu and bird flu. This co-infection could cause the reassortment of genes and enable bird flu, currently transmissible to humans only from infected animals and birds, to gain the seasonal flu's capability for human-to-human transmission. This evolutionary process could very well be taking place now without anyone knowing. And if such spread were to take place, under Trump's new rules, no public health agency would even be able to report it. On June 15, 2020, Trump infamously summarized his administration's contempt for public health, stating, "If we stop testing right now, we'd have very few cases, if any." Under Biden, this ethos of covering up the ongoing pandemic was entrenched, culminating in the scrapping of the COVID-19 Public Health Emergency, PHE, declaration in May 2023. Over 1 million excess deaths took place under Biden's watch, roughly doubling the 500,000 that took place under Trump. This bipartisan criminal cover-up has now reached its logical conclusion in Trump's efforts to suppress all public health data reporting. The mantra of Trump 2.0 is, "If we stop all reporting on infectious diseases right now, no one will know what is killing them." Significantly, Trump's executive order cutting off WHO funding shifts responsibility for managing future pandemics to the assistant to the president for national security affairs, his fascist ally Michael Waltz, who will establish directorates and coordinating mechanisms within the National Security Council apparatus as he deems necessary and appropriate to safeguard public health and fortify biosecurity. In other words, the next pandemic will be addressed with police state measures and the deployment of the military. The next volley of the new regime's assault on public health came on Thursday during the Senate confirmation hearings for Trump's nominee to head the United States Department of Agriculture, USDA, Brooke Rollins. A close ally of Trump who headed his America First Policy Institute, Rollins is a longtime shill for the agribusiness, meat and dairy industries, whose leading business associations collectively endorsed her nomination last week. Like her Democratic predecessor Tom Vilsack, Rollins will do nothing to prevent the deepening spread of bird flu among poultry or cattle across the U.S., as this would impinge on the profits of her industry allies. At her confirmation hearing, Rollins was praised by senators from both parties and faced no serious questioning about how she would handle the spread of bird flu among farm workers, poultry, and cattle. The worst is yet to come. Next Wednesday, Senate confirmation hearings will begin for Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Trump's pick for HHS Secretary. Kennedy is one of the disinformation dozen, those identified by public health groups as most responsible for spreading anti-vaccine disinformation on social media throughout the pandemic and well before. He is culpable in the deaths of millions globally. When in power, he will spout pseudoscience, denigrate vaccines, and encourage the consumption of raw milk, known to hasten the spread of bird flu. In the off chance that Kennedy's appointment is delayed by the Democrats or actually defeated, a possibility mainly because of Christian fundamentalist opposition to his past support for reproductive rights, Trump has already threatened to prorogue Congress in order to push Kennedy through, along with his other public health nominees and fascists like Pete Hegseth. While this would likely trigger legal appeals, these would eventually wind up in the far-right Supreme Court, which last July effectively overturned the Constitution and granted the president dictatorial powers. The coming shocks of the Trump administration in the domain of public health, including the growing threat of a bird flu pandemic, the resurgence of long-eliminated pathogens like measles, and the ongoing impact of COVID-19 will profoundly destabilize American society and accelerate the radicalization of the working class. The very survival of humanity depends upon the building of a socialist movement, uniting workers, youth, and principled layers of the middle class, including scientists and other healthcare professionals. Only the revolutionary transformation of society on the basis of economic planning can ensure the expansion of public health, the prevention of future pandemics, and the defense of science.
thousands of troops to deploy to Mexico border as part of Trump's mass deportation operation by Jacob Cross. The Trump administration is moving quickly to erect an enormous militarized deportation apparatus that will trample on the democratic rights of all sections of the working class, undocumented immigrants, green card holders, and citizens alike. In the last 24 hours, several large corporate press outlets, including the Washington Post and CBS News, have reported that the Trump administration is planning to deploy 10,000 active-duty troops to the U.S.-Mexico border. On Wednesday, Acting Secretary of Defense Robert Salesis, responding to executive orders issued by Trump, authorized the initial deployment of 1,500 troops to the border. Of these, 500 are Marines that had been on standby to assist with the ongoing Los Angeles area fires, but are instead being redirected to combat a fictitious so-called invasion. In a briefing document obtained by the Washington Post, the Pentagon outlined the increasingly expansive role of the U.S. military in the coming deportation operations. Soldiers will fly military aircraft to airlift detained immigrants to countries around the world. El Salvador and Guatemala were specifically mentioned. There's a distinct possibility that U.S. soldiers will be detaining those swept up in deportation raids on U.S. military bases. The Post reported, quote, "The Defense Department may also utilize military bases as holding facilities," the document says, end quote. Soldiers will also be assisting in constructing the U.S.-Mexico border wall, as well as bolstering, quote-unquote, surveillance efforts, which the Post reported, citing a senior military official that, quote, could include additional manned or unmanned aircraft, end quote. The briefing order calls for the soldiers to work in conjunction with U.S. Customs and Border Protection, CBP, to block all immigrants entering at the U.S.-Mexico border, quote, on the grounds that they have passed through countries where communicable diseases are present without citing any specific health threat, end quote. When the COVID-19 pandemic first emerged over 5 years ago, the fascist senior advisor to Trump, Stephen Miller, suggested the administration use the pandemic as a pretext to block immigrants from claiming asylum in America. Miller cited an over 80-year-old provision in the Public Health Act known as Title 42, which allows the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, to block migrants from certain areas if they have reason to believe they are carrying a communicable disease. The provision has never been used to block all immigration, as Miller proposed and Trump eventually ordered. Under Trump, nearly 500,000 people were turned away using Title 42. After Trump, the Biden administration continued to use Title 42 to deport another 2 million migrants, even after the CDC ruled there was no public health rationale to continue that policy. Earlier this month, and well before Biden left office, the New York Times reported that the incoming Trump administration was looking for a rationale to invoke Title 42 again. On January 9, the newspaper reported that Trump advisors had spent, quote, months trying to identify a disease that will help them build their case for closing the border, end quote. The Times noted that his advisors were considering arguing, quote, broadly, that migrants at the border come from various countries and may carry unfamiliar disease, end quote. Throughout his presidential campaign, Trump regularly accused immigrants of bringing in crime and disease. In a particularly Hitlerian speech in December 2023, he accused the Biden administration of allowing 16 million people into the country, end quote, declaring, quote, they are poisoning the blood of our country, end quote. Despite being well aware of Trump's plans, the Biden administration and the Democratic Party did nothing to protect immigrants. Instead, the Democrats negotiated a $20 billion border security bill with congressional Republicans, only to have it torpedoed at Trump's orders. The legislation contained no so-called pathways to citizenship, and instead allocated billions towards hiring more border agents and expanding detention facilities. Former Vice President Kamala Harris campaigned on signing the reactionary bill into law if she were elected. The resistance to Trump's mass deportation plans, which have been co-signed by the Democrats with the bipartisan passage of the Laken and Riley Act, will come from the working class. A public school teacher in southwest Detroit told the WSWS, quote, it is necessary to fight the propaganda. Yesterday, TikTok was down. People were seeing what was happening in Palestine. They were telling us China wants us to be stupid, but we have been kept stupid, and we're waking up to what is happening in the world. We have to prepare and warn about the deportations. Already people are talking about hiding immigrants like Jews in Nazi Germany. We have to explain what they're planning to do with ICE in Chicago and Detroit. We have to spread the word. When are we going to see ICE vans outside the schools? End quote. The neighborhood she teaches in has a large Latin American community. She said, quote, already there's a decrease in attendance. Parents are worried about their kids getting picked up. A lot of parents were reluctant about taking their kids to clinics. You can see it on the faces of students. More non-English students are also enrolled after the winter break. They're making it harder to get in, but that isn't going to stop people from leaving countries where they have no hope and risking their lives to get here. Staff members in Detroit remember the first Trump presidency and all the ICE activity. We have a sanctuary school district, but people don't know what to do. They're going to keep their children home. End quote. As part of the further militarization of the border, the Washington Post reported that newly appointed Border Patrol Chief Mike Banks instructed senior staff during a Tuesday briefing to, quote, use extraordinary emergency authority to close the border, end quote. As part of this authority, the only people in the U.S. government who can authorize someone to enter the U.S. to make an asylum claim are Banks and his deputy. Prior to taking over for outgoing Border Patrol Chief Jason Owens this week, Banks previously served as Texas Governor Greg Abbott's first so-called border czar. In this capacity, Banks kidnapped immigrants and sent them to Democratic-led cities and states and sought to block the entry of immigrants into Texas with concertina wire and death buoys placed in the Rio Grande River. In an attempt to expand the border police state without having to hire more agents, the Wall Street Journal reported late on Thursday that an internal memo had been issued by Acting Department of Homeland Security Secretary Benjamin Huffman, which bestows so-called immigration enforcement authority to several federal agencies under the Department of Justice. Recalling the infamous Palmer raids of 1919 and 1920, in which thousands of radical and socialist workers, many of whom were immigrants, were jailed and deported in response to fears within the U.S. ruling class of socialist revolution, police agents with the U.S. Marshals Service, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and the Drug Enforcement Agency are to be granted the authority to detain and deport immigrants. The Journal reported that while the memo does not explicitly deputize agents within the departments, the Trump administration is counting on the DOJ to cooperate by sending some agents. Trump's barrage of executive orders faced their first setback on Thursday after U.S. District Judge John Kohenour, appointed by Ronald Reagan in 1981, signed a temporary restraining order blocking Trump's executive order overturning birthright citizenship. The Trump administration is attempting to overturn the 14th Amendment, which guarantees citizenship to all those born in the United States. ABC News reported that an incredulous Kohenour asked Trump's DOJ lawyers during the hearing, quote, in your opinion, is this executive order constitutional? End quote. After the Justice Department lawyer replied in the affirmative, the judge responded, quote, frankly, I have difficulty understanding how a member of the bar could state unequivocally that this is a constitutional order. It just boggles my mind. End quote. While signing more executive orders in the Oval Office in front of live television crews, Trump was asked about Kohenour's ruling. He said, quote, obviously we will appeal it. There's no surprises with that judge. End quote. You can find these articles and more at wsws.org.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.